Warning, this show contains strong language and scenes of a queer nature.
Yes!
Hey, I'm Josh, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Art of Being Queer podcast. Here's a snippet of what's to come.
With like 14, I draw like, you know, sexy pictures of guys. It's a weird thing now, how did I not realise that that was really gay? There's that reflection with the whole like grinder culture and everything like that selfie culture, and I think that has an effect on sometimes the kind of art people make as well. I don't know if you've heard that, that's really funny that grinder just popped up then as I was saying that. I want to do something that was kind of sexual, but not in a kind of overt way, or not in a way that was supposed to like arouse anyone. They're all carved out with little tools like this. Yeah, so I had these threesomes with these guys, and I had threesomes before and pulled around with people, but it had always been couples, and this time was the first time I'd been with people where we weren't, like, nobody was in a relationship with anyone else, and because of that, I felt like I had a different dynamic, like, it felt more equal, and I really liked that, so I left that experience being like, oh, yeah, cool, and then made this work sort of based on that. Yeah, like, celebrating non-traditional sex and non-traditional relationships.
Before we get started, you might want to head over to theartofbeingqueer.com to follow along with the art that we'll be discussing in the blog. So now let's jump straight into it and meet the guest of the episode, Luke Carter. Hey Luke, would you like to give an introduction?
So I'm Luke Carter. I live in Leipzig, Germany, but I'm originally from Bristol, and I work mainly with traditional printmaking. So mainly lino cut, woodcut, bits of letterpress. And I do a lot of work with queer themes, but I also do illustration commissions and work as an illustrator as well.
So do you want to tell me a bit about the first ever queer art piece that you created?
My first piece? Well, one of the things I've been sort of doing this year, like I've sort of only consciously been making queer art this year, but part of that process has been also returning to when I first started to draw, like seriously, when I was a teenager. And I used to draw pictures of like guys, basically. I used to express my sexuality through drawing, and I didn't really reflect on it then, but when I look back now, I realize that's what I was doing. And you know, I used to, with like 14, I draw like, you know, sexy pictures of guys and stuff, and didn't really think about it. Don't know how. It's weird to think now, how did I not realize that that was really gay? But that's kind of, I guess that would have been my first sort of queer art, was, yeah, when I was a kid and coming to terms with my sexuality. And like drawing was a way for me to, yeah, understand that and come to terms with that. So there wasn't like a specific event or anything, but for most of my sort of like creative career journey, I don't know, I've been doing mainly illustration. And then it's only really been the last couple of years that I've started doing my own sort of work consciously. And when I started to do that, for me, it was obvious to make work about my sexuality and my experiences, and to work a bit around that, because I kind of think that, I think it's quite strange how there aren't more people doing queer art or art about sexuality in general, because I feel like it's such a huge part of the human experience that it seems really bizarre to me that there aren't more kind of examples of it, that there aren't more examples of sort of art about sex that isn't porn, not like porn shaming or anything, but do you know what I mean? It's like a huge area of human experience and existence. And for some people, it's their main reason for existence. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's about exploring my own feelings of like loneliness and isolation as well. And kind of going back to what I was saying about being young, that making queer art or art about that sort of side of myself can be a way to, I don't know, live in a fantasy, but not even like a sexual fantasy kind of way, just like expressing that sort of desire and wish to connect with people.
Do you think that there are any misconceptions when you create queer art?
Well, the thing that springs to mind with that question for me is that the nature of queer itself and what that word means. And I have problems sometimes. I don't often identify myself as being queer as such, because I'm very aware of my own privilege. Like, I'm a cis white gay man, and I don't want to present myself maybe as being more kind of oppressed than I am. I sort of recognize that in the West, I have a lot of privileges that maybe, I don't know, a trans person or a gay immigrant or whatever might not have. But I think that one problem I see with like queer or gay art is that I'm also aware of my work is sort of too focusing too much on a very white kind of Greco-Roman idea of beauty and still kind of being stuck in that classical sort of muscly white kind of like clean cut idea of what beauty is, like in a quite stereotypical way.
It's something that I'm conscious of too while doing this project. I try and be as inclusive as I can with the artists that we feature, but sometimes there's an influx of work that's submitted that does stick to the traditional beauty standards.
There's that reflection with the whole like grinder culture and everything like that, that selfie culture, and I think that has an effect on sometimes the kind of art that people make as well, where it's not very reflected. It's just kind of a reproduction of the problematic things which they experience through apps and stuff. I don't know if you heard that. That's really funny that Grindr just popped up then as I was saying that.
Well, we know that that's definitely making it into the podcast cut. So what's the general reaction you get to your work?
It's really varied. A lot of people... I mean, another thing is that I work mainly in institutional printmaking, and I've had exhibitions or been involved in exhibitions in Leipzig, which have been not queer exhibitions, but exhibitions of traditional print. And I put in some of my queer art to those exhibitions. And some people react really quite badly and think it's gross and don't know why it's there. And I don't know whether it's just because it's queer or whether it's because some of the ones were more sexual. But there's definitely a lot of people who kind of just don't get it. But those people aren't who I'm aiming for. Like when I make queer work, I'm kind of aiming that generally more at queer people and not straight people. And then like, yeah, LGBTQ people tend to respond really quite positively.
So if people took one thing away from your work, what would you hope that it would be?
I think the main thing would be to people to feel like I've been honest. You know what I mean? That I've produced something sincere and honest. And that's something that I'm still working on, because although it sounds really, it's actually quite hard to make authentic, sincere pieces of work sometimes, because we're always thinking about, should I do something like that? Because that's what people like at the moment. Or, you know, we've got all these other influences and pressures on us that sometimes it's quite hard to make things which are actually honest and true to yourself. So I think, yeah, the thing I want people to take away is the impression that, regardless of whether they like it or not, that I have been honest and sincere in what I've done.
So now do you want to talk us through some of the work that you sent across? The first one that's going to be in the blog is Afterglow.
Yeah, so that's like part of that little series in the similar style. And that was kind of, yeah, just exploring intimacy. You know, I just wanted to have a bit of fun with it. I wanted to do something that was kind of sexual, but not in a kind of overt way, or not in a way that was supposed to like arouse anyone or be seen as porn, but rather to look at this idea of like gay intimacy rather than it just being, because I think there's a lot of gay art, which is basically like kind of porn, which is made to try and, you know, turn people on. But I don't think there's that many representations of intimacy, and that's what I kind of find more interesting. So yeah, that's kind of what that was about. Like that, the moment like guys fall around and they're just lying there enjoying each other's company, being close to each other and feeling that kind of, yeah, closeness.
It really does come across in your work. How do you make these? Is it screen printing?
They're liner cut or wood cut. Most of them are liner cut, so they're all carved out with little tools like this. See, I'm working on another lino at the moment. Yeah, so they're all hand carved and then printed. Some of them are printed in a print studio with old printing presses, but most of them I print by hand.
Will it look absolutely gorgeous? Should we talk about the next image that will be in the blog now? Chill.
That's kind of it's kind of maybe a work in progress title, but yeah, that was very much a similar sort of thing. Actually, kind of exactly the thing, same thing as the last one. It was just kind of being explored with colors as well. Yeah, maybe also a bit more pairy, trying to be a bit, yeah. Showing that not everyone's like, I don't know, smooth twinky. I don't know. Sorry, haven't got too much to say more.
No, that's absolutely fine. I really do love the colours in this one.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so the next one is Close Encounter.
Yeah. that one was, well, yeah, kind of what it is. Again, looking at that moment where it's not like, very sexual, but it's more about that energy and that feeling around the moment rather than just being like, boom, they're having sex or whatever. be like, you know, there's this situation with a kind of, attention and anxiety, and the guy's also maybe like a little bit playing with masculinity as well, like the idea about maybe having a larger or a taller gay man with a potentially straight smaller man, and kind of, I don't know, because the idea was that the one of the guys had just walked in there and maybe was then subject to the prying eyes of this maybe quite intimidating gay man, and I don't know, also maybe kind of a power reversal thing there. Yeah.
Is this one autobiographical?
No, sadly not.
Okay, so the next one is First Contact.
Yeah, again, kind of that subtle thing, maybe making when you first sort of make eye contact with someone in the situation and you kind of trying to maybe work out if there's anything there. Does that person like me? Do I talk to them, or how do I talk to them when you're in a public space? And then, yeah, you do a lot, obviously, as a queer person, trying to judge the sexuality of other people and not just being able to like live in the straight world where you can assume that everyone is the same sexuality as you are. So that kind of, yeah, that moment of kind of trying to suss each other out, I thought was maybe quite interesting.
Your work seems to focus on the moments more than being overly explicit. Is this something that you're conscious of when you're creating?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I also think that's like generally with relationships, I think that's more exciting. You know, I think that especially, I think for me at least, I don't know if this is for other people, but I think because we live in a culture where it's like actually quite easy to have sex now. You know, if you just want to have sex, you can have sex really easily. You can go on Grindr or Tinder or whatever. You can find someone in a couple of hours. You can go fool around and, you know, job's done, like you've had sex. Congratulations. But it's not like, I don't know, it's not that special, is it, then after a while? I don't mean that in like a monogamous way, but just like, you know, I think that it's nice when relationships and connections you make with people have a kind of maybe a bit of a story to them, or have a bit of a chase, not in like a stalkery way, just in like a, do you know what I mean? Like a, something more to it. Like, I think that's more interesting than the sex itself. Yeah. And I think that always makes sex better anyway as well, when you have the kind of story, the moments of intimacy, the like build up, the whatever, you know, those are the things which are, you know, I think are like particularly, yeah, cool.
You know, this idea is something a lot of artists speak to me about. A lot of them would prefer a relationship, but feel the community is all about sex. I'm not going to attempt the next title as it's in German and I don't want to butcher it. Do you want to tell me a little bit about it?
That was based on an experience I had actually, I had a threesome with a couple of guys. It didn't actually look like the guys there. And I just, afterwards, it was just felt really nice. Like it was a really nice experience. Yeah, so I had these threesome with these guys, and I'd had threesomes before and fooled around with people, but it had always been couples. And this time was the first time I'd been with people where we weren't like, nobody was in a relationship with anyone else. We were all just kind of like friends. And because of that, I felt like I had a different dynamic. Like it felt more equal, and I really liked that. So I left that experience being like, oh yeah, cool. And then made this work sort of based on that. Yeah, like celebratory feeling. Yeah, like celebrating non-traditional sex, non-traditional relationships.
That's really cool. And it leads us nicely onto the next one. Do you want to tell me a bit about Need a Hand?
Yeah, that's just based on a section of a photo that I saw. I think that's probably the only like explicit sexual one that I've got. And that was, yeah, just kind of fun, really. Yeah, I had the idea about guys falling around at a tent at a festival. That's why one of them has the festival band. Fusion Festival is a big festival in Germany. And then originally it was like a bigger composition, and then it just like honed down on the hands and the cock and the sort of angles I really liked. So, yeah.
How is this one made? Is it the same as the others?
That's lino cut as well. So, yeah, the colour ones are all reduction, which means that it's one block of lino, which I cut out, print, and then cut out more, and then print more. So it's only one block, but it's being slowly reduced. And you're just printing the colours on top of each other until the last colour, there's barely anything left on the block. So you do all this work carving out, and then by the end, all your carving is gone pretty much, and you just have to throw the liner away.
That's a shame, but they look amazing. Okay, so the last image that you sent across was Queer Party.
Yeah, that one was kind of, that was one of the first pieces I did, like, in the last few years about being, well, it was last year, actually, about being queer, and that was, yeah, about the feeling of not really fitting in, or like really trying to fit in, like sometimes going to a party or a queer space or whatever and not feeling like you're cool enough, or not feeling like you're sexy enough, and you're kind of trying to take part, but you're not really sure if you're doing it right. Like, that's why the central figure in the middle is kind of based on me. Like, he's not, some people say he looks like me, but it's whatever it's supposed to like represent, I guess, my feelings around being in those situations, and then maybe being at this like really, you know, wicked party with loads of awesome, rad, queer people, and then kind of not knowing if you belong there and not feeling cool enough and trying to kind of get involved, but then not really being sure if you're doing it right. So,
so sadly, we've come to the end of another episode of the Art of Being Queer podcast. I want to thank Luke for being such an amazing guest and sharing his work with us. I'd like to give a special thank you to our patrons, Alpha Wings, Adam Heller, and Laura Odom. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head over to patreon.com/theartofbeingqueer. A final thank you to Queen Toast for creating the amazing tracks that have been used in this podcast. And thank you for listening. See you next time.